What's up? What's popping? What's happening? How are you doing? And welcome to another episode, the fourth episode of Light Up with Mariam. I'm super delighted, as always, to be back with another episode of Light Up. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to everyone again who had listened to the previous episodes, everyone who got back with a DM, with a text, with a comment, anyone who shared, who liked it. Thank you for your time. And I'm delighted to bring the fourth episode to you again. So what's been popping? What's been happening, you know? Let me tell you guys what happened to me the other day. Let me actually tell you. So basically, this was 2 Sundays ago. I was dressing up for church, you know, looking good for Jesus. Girls doing her makeup, you know, all the nice things, right? And then I had taken off my glasses. And interestingly, my glasses was on my couch. So I had finished my makeup. I think I was looking in a mirror. And then I sat down, ladies and gentlemen. I sat down on my glasses. That moment, I froze. Once I just sat down and I heard the noise like cut, I said, that did not happen. So I stood up, picked my glasses. Guys, my glasses was broken. I froze again. For the life of me, I was just like, what am I going to do now? I mourned it for a few seconds. Thankfully, I had a spare. And in that space of time, like every time, I just started thinking, rah, these gifts of sight, people that are not using glasses or contact, even we used to see for free. I can't. You see for free. You don't need to pay anything. You wake up and then you see clearly. You wipe your face and you see clearly. You have your bath. You bath in the shower. You come out and you can see clearly. Honestly speaking, the gift of sight is something that we take for granted, but it is so crucial. And it also made me realize that as humans, we're all visually impaired. We don't see things clearly. Sometimes we're colorblind. As humans without God. So the same way glasses is my aid, so is the word of God our aid. We can't judge situations rightly. We can't see clearly. Life is quite blurred without God. So when we act outside the word of God, when we choose to see things, or we say, if I was not a Christian, I'd have done na-na-na-na-na. If I was not a Christian, we make the wrong decisions. Those are the wrong things because we're not using our aid that is the word of God. Right? So in essence, only in Christ we can truly really see. And Father, we just pray that even as we begin to study your words, Lord God, you say that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Father, we ask that you help us see with this light you have provided for us, God. We pray that you help our hearts be simple as we study and listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, so let's jump right in. Today's topic is Samson, hashtag John Cena. Drum roll. Now, John Cena, if you do not know, his full name is John Felix Anthony Cena Jr. is an American professional wrestler, as an actor and a rapper. Today, we would start off with the story of Samson. We would move on to 2 key lessons I learned from the story. Then we would go on a music break and then we'd have our confession of the week and our activity of the week and we'll call it a day. So let's jump right in. Now, the story of Samson is in the book of Judges from chapter 13 to 16. Judges not only has a story of Samson, but it has that of Gideon, Deborah, several other judges in the Bible. And I think it's like an interesting TV reality show. I'm not even kidding. From one episode of Judge to another, you know, those be good characters, bad characters, the dramatic ones, the funny ones, the smart ones, the stupid ones, all together in one book. You should absolutely get around to reading the book. So anyways, let's go to the story of Samson. Now again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of God. So God the delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And a man named Manoah, he had a wife who was childless and unable to give birth. And one day, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now let me tell you, make sure you do not drink wine or any fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and you will have a son whose head is never to be touched with razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Now, this woman then went to tell her husband, like, "Yo, do you know though? Apparently, an angel appeared to me and this is what he told me, XYZ. Now, the husband was curious. He hadn't seen the angel, so he prayed to God that the angel should come again. And in God's graciousness, the angel came again and told him the exact same thing. Now, the husband asked the angel, "What is your name? You know, tell me your name." And the angel said, "Why do you ask for my name? It is too wonderful for you to understand." Let me just interject here. The first time I read this part, I underlined it and I was like, this is it. This is it. The next person to ask me for my name, I would be like, "Why do you ask for my name, brother? It's too wonderful for you to understand." Okay, let me continue. So they prepared a burnt offering to God and the angel went up to the fire. Afterwards, the woman got pregnant. She gave birth to a boy, named the boy Samson. He grew up and the Lord blessed him. Now Samson went to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. Then he went with his parents and he asked his parents to get her for him so he'll marry. Now his parents asked him, "Are they not that sweet looking Israelite woman? Oh, relatives you can marry from." But then he insisted he wanted to get married to this Philistine girl. Little did his parents know that this was from the Lord and God was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for they had been ruling over Israel. Now Samson and his parents went to Timnah, and as they approached the valley of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards them. The spirit of the Lord came heavily and powerfully upon him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as if he was a young goat. But he didn't tell either of his parents. Now later on, he went back to marry the girl, and he passed by the carcass of the lion he had killed. Now he saw many bees had swarmed it, and he saw honey. So he took some of the honey, ate some, and gave his parents some, but did not tell them that he had gotten them from a dead lion. Now he was a Nazarite, and this was forbidden. On arrival at the wedding party, he gave some of the young men a riddle. And he said, "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." And he said if he answered it within 7 days, he would give each one of them linen garments. So 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. And if they didn't, they would have to give him 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes too. Now these guys could not answer it, and so they went to pester Samson's wife. They were like, "By his way, they all banned. Tell him to explain this riddle for us, or we're going to burn your father's household to death." So in the end, she persuades Samson. She nags, sobs, begs Samson. Samson tells her the answer. The men pridefully come and tell Samson, "We know the answer now. Isn't all that we lie on and only? Is that not the answer?" And Samson was upset because he knew that this man didn't get it. But then he had to fulfill his promise, right? So the spirit of the Lord came heavily upon and powerfully upon Samson. He went to Ashkelon, struck down 30 men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those that had explained the riddle. But Samson was still upset, so he went to his father's house. Now, Samson's wife was then given to Samson's best friend in marriage. Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. But okay, I finished vexing, I'm back. Or maybe not finished vexing, but you know, he just went and came back. And he told his father-in-law, "Okay, I'm going to my wife's room to see her." And the father wouldn't let her go. And he said, "I thought you hated her, but I'm giving her to your best friend. You can have her younger sister." And Samson was mad. Samson just got upset. Like, "Nah, this time around, whatever I do, it's not even my fault because you're the one that messed up." So he caught 300 foxes. He tied them in pairs. So that's 150 pairs. And then he lit their tails with fire. And he sent them off to the Philistines and their fields. And so they burned every of their vineyards and olive trees. Now, when the Philistines found out that it was Samson that did it, they set fire to his wife and to the wife's father. Now, this even further provoked Samson, as he then attacked the Philistines viciously and he slaughtered them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. Now the Philistines went up and camped around Judah. Now remember, Judah is the tribe of Israel. So the people of Judah asked them, "Why have you come to fight us? What do we do?" And they said, "We have come to take Samson prisoner, to kill him the way he killed our people." Now 3,000 of the men of Judah, they went to go and beg Samson. "This is Samson, what do we do? We've come to tie you up and hand you to the Philistines." And Samson made them promise that they would not kill him. They would only just hand him over. So they tied him. And by the time he approached the Philistines, the Bible says he cut the ropes powerfully as if they were what? They were just like strands of thread. And with a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and he killed 1,000 of the Philistine men. Now he became very thirsty and then he cried out to God. He said, "God, you have given your servant this great victory. Now, must I die of thirst? And must I fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened a hollow place in Lehi and water came out of there. And Samson drank and his strength returned and he was revived. Now the Bible also says at this junction that Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. And the most famous for Samson story, I mean, it would not be complete without this junction, Samson and Delilah. Now sometimes later, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now the rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into telling you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him and subdue him. Each one of us would give you 1,100 shekels of silver." And Delilah went to Samson. Delilah was not even subtle. I think that's the thing that even cracks me up. Three good times, Delilah said, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you may be bound so they can subdue you." Is it just me? Like, Delilah didn't even go, "Baby, you know, tell me where your strength is. Baby, you're such a strong man. Tell me." She didn't even, like, and she tried three times. Samson, first time, told her, "If you tie me with bowstring," did not work. Told her, "If you tie me with ropes," did not work. Another time, "If you weave my hair into a loom," they did not work. And the fourth time, Delilah vexed. Delilah said, "How can you even say you love me? How can you say you love me when you don't trust me?" I think there's a line a lot of women use anyways. "You've made a fool out of me, and you haven't told me the secret of your great strength." And she kept going on and on and on. And the Bible says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. And so he told her everything. He said, "See, they've never cut my hair before, and I'm dedicated to God as a Nazarite from a womb, and that is why I am mad strong." Ah, that point, Delilah knew that they did. I've gotten it. She called the rulers of the Philistines, right? And she told them, "Just come back one more time. Remember, they had come back three times before. Just come back one more time. He told me everything. I got this." So the rulers returned, and then Delilah put him to sleep on her lap. And then she called for someone to shave off his 7 braids, and his strength left him. Let me just pause at this junction to emphasize that Delilah did not cut Samson's hair. I feel like I had been lied to all my childhood. Tell your neighbor, "Delilah did not cut Samson's hair." Mm-mm. She called for someone to shave it. Delilah is such a babe though. Like, she'd be giving her man a trim. And then anyways, Delilah said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And then Samson woke up and he was like, "Rah, I'm going to go out and shake my slave, and I'll fight them as I would." But then he did not know that his strength has gone. So the Philistines seized him and removed his eyes and took him to Gaza, and they chained him. But his hair began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, the death of Samson. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to their gods and to celebrate. They chanted, "Our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And in high spirits, they said, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of prison and he performed for them. Was he like flexing muscles? Was he dancing? I don't know. But anyway, Samson then asked one of the boys that brought him out to just place him in between the pillars of their temple, so that he would have support. And in that moment, Samson prayed to the Lord and said, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, and he pushed them with all his might, and down came the temple off the rulers and all the people in it. And the Bible records that Samson killed many more when he died than while he lived. And then his family came unto his body to be buried. Samson, it's actually quite dramatic. Honestly, it's like some Hollywood drama, no jokes. But Samson's story, I think it's one of the stories in the Bible that have been underrated. I think when I was younger, I genuinely couldn't even understand why Samson's story was in the Bible at first. I used to see Samson as rude. He was proud. He was a killer. He couldn't tell Delilah no. There are just too many things that just infuriated me about Samson. And so it wasn't a story that I thought had so many things to think about or had gems in it, so to speak. But then as I grew, I started seeing Samson in a different light. Rather than a failure, I started seeing Samson that, perhaps Samson was buff. Paraventured. Samson was a sweet boy, somebody of a six-pack nature, somebody perhaps beard ganged, somebody that is huge, dreadlocked, you know, all this. I'm not even kidding. So to be sure, it wasn't even just me seeing it this way. Yeah, I asked a couple of my friends, if you were going to imagine Samson, what would you say Samson looked like? What would you describe Samson to me, right? And this is what my friends thought.
The first thing I think of is hair. That had to be like the most amazing dreadlocks ever. I mean, imagine what that hair would look like. Hey God. Well, it had to be what in our time we call a hunk. Large, strong, bearded. Like a close enough image of him would be Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, right? That had to be what Samson looked like.
I imagine him to be, you know, obviously really tall, like 6'2", 6'3", or probably even taller than that. Who knows? Really muscular. I mean, not as muscular as like Dwayne Johnson or like Batista the wrestler, but like something like Thor or like Captain America, you know, like, oh my god, yes, like that. And brown skin. And instead of like obviously having like silk blonde hair, I would say he had like dark brown hair, but like maybe like dreads. Do you hear what I mean?
I imagine something to have the body of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the hair of Roman Reigns, and the voice of Vin Diesel.
Well, basically, I'll describe something like Thor. Every time I read the Bible and I read the description of Samson, I read his story, like what is in my head is Thor. But then again, he could have been lanky, very, very lanky, like Sheldon in Big Bang Theory. You know, like how fragile Sheldon looks and then he just strikes, boom! Nobody will expect it, that kind of thing. It's just like, ding, da, da, ding.
So Samson as my G in the modern day Lagos, that would be like having a cool friend that got your back anytime. Take for example all these Lagos bus drivers that would just drive like in their invincible and there's nothing you can do. Getting close to you alone and Samson sees them. And the guy tries again and Samson just stretches out his hands and pushes his boss away, that kind of thing. I'm imagining things, but that's what I see Samson doing. Like he would just treat the bus driver like one of the Philistines or something and would deal with the guy.
As a woman of accuracy, I'm here to use bare facts to show how Samson is a world, a sweet boy, fresh guy. First and first, the air on top of his head, they said they cannot touch it. That means what? He's only a beautiful, luscious man bun. Oh, my taste.
So see, it wasn't just me that thought Samson was buff like this. My friends definitely cracked me up when I heard what they thought. I was like, ah, great minds think alike. The way we're all thinking around the same thing. So, let's move on quickly and swiftly. Lesson one. Drum rolls, please. Samson was a foreshadow of Christ. Now tell your neighbor, Samson foreshadowed Christ. Now when we talk about the foreshadowing of Christ, as has been exemplified in the previous episodes, these are stories or concepts that remind us or affirm us that the birth of Christ, his mission, his purpose, even his death, was not a last minute plan by God. It was way pre-planned and prophesied since the Old Testament or centuries ago through the lives of other people and significant events. So let's delve into it. Let's explore the few ways Samson paralleled or reflected Christ. Now, firstly, background. Now, the story started with how Israel had sinned and how God had handed them to the hands of the Philistines, right? Judges chapter 2 from 11 to 12, it says the Philistines did what was evil in the sight of God. They worshipped Baals. Now, Baals are the gods. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers that had brought them out of Egypt. They followed other gods from the surrounding peoples and bowed down to them. This angered the Lord. He withdrew his strength. Now, essentially, when the Bible says how God had handed them up to the Philistines, how I understand it to mean is that God withdrew his strength because of their indulgence in sin. They also accepted the existence of other gods from surrounding cultures and chose to worship them also. So what did God do? God withdrew his strength from them so that when they went to battle and they lost, they would realize that their gods were powerless. Now, the parallel here is that before Christ, man was ruled by sin. The entire human race was subject to the power and the stronghold of sin. Romans 5 from 12, it gives us a breakdown of how sinful we were and how the sin had been passed on since the fall of Abraham. So see, the background of both stories, Samson and Jesus, is that the world and the lifestyle was a life of sin. Now, another parallel is their conception and their identity. Now, the Bible says that the angel appeared to Samson's mother to tell her that she would be pregnant, even though she had been unable to give birth. So essentially, this was a miraculous birth, right? Likewise, the angel Gabriel's appearance to Mary. Mary would have been unable to give birth. Mary was a virgin. So there were miraculous births, right, announced by angels. And he also said Samson was called to be a Nazarene. No wine, no strong drink, no product of grape, no blade touching his hair. And all his life was in consecration to God. Numbers chapter 6 gives a more detailed instruction of how Nazarenes are to live their lives. And on the other hand, it was prophesied that Jesus is to be called a Nazarene forever. Matthew 2:23 says, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So see how their identities were similar. In calling, Samson paralleled the reflective work Jesus came to do on earth. The angel said he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Similarly, Jesus' mission was to deliver us from sin and the law. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law but under grace." And verse 17 says, "Thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart. You have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to righteousness." So we can see that, as Samson was on a mission to rescue the Israelites from the Philistines, Jesus was also on a mission to rescue us from sin and from the law. So Samson foreshadows Christ in mission and purpose. So moving on to Samson's first marriage, how did this parallel Christ? So we know that Samson went down to marry a Philistine, and this was outside the norm because Israelites were meant to marry Israelites, and anyone who wasn't an Israelite was unworthy. They were not equal standing or equal ground with the Israelites. Now this is similar to Christ, because the Bible says that, see, Christ did not come for the righteous, the people that were like him, because Christ was already the Son of God, and so he was righteous. But then he came to call the sinners to repentance. So Christ was even going after, he was chasing after those who were not like him, the sinners. Samson's battle with the lion, how he says Samson went to the wilderness and attacked the lion and he overcame the lion. This is like the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. The devil in John 10:10 was also referred to as the roaring lion. And Jesus was in the wilderness when he overcame the devil. See, in the end of it, Jesus rebukes the devil and says, "Get away from me." Through Jesus' victory over Satan, he destroyed Satan, defeated death, and thus the sweetness of the gospel and the resurrection came from or out of Satan's defeat. So see, it's like Samson. Samson defeated the lion and honey and sweetness came out of it. Likewise, the sweetness of the gospel came out of Christ's defeat of the devil. Samson left his bride in the care of his friends or his companions. Likewise, Christ leaves us in the companion of the Holy Spirit and comes back for us the same way Samson came back for his wife. Now the final bit, Samson and Delilah. Now, Samson was betrayed by the closest ones to him, Delilah, the love of his life. Likewise, Jesus was betrayed by a disciple and a friend close to him in proximity. They hung around, they went around, they went on trips together, ate together, and he was betrayed by them. Now, interestingly, Delilah tempted Samson 3 times, and only 3 times Samson did not budge. It was until the 4th time he told her the secrets. Remember, Christ was tempted 3 times only, and to those 3 times, Christ had responses to with them and did not yield. Now, see, this is why Christ, in the end, is still the perfect savior. No one can parallel Christ perfectly, because the perfection is Christ. In the end, before the death of Samson, he acknowledged God as his strength. Likewise, Jesus, he acknowledged God and committed himself to him. Now, another crucial parallel is that Samson asked to be placed in between 2 supporting pillars of the temple. Imagine Samson in the middle of these 2 pillars with his arms stretched out and his legs together. This is the same position Christ died on the cross, his hands stretched out and his legs together. Now, the death of Samson resulted to the death of 3,000 people in 1 day. By contrast, on the day of Pentecost, in the salvation of 3,000 people in 1 day. And to wrap it up, the Bible says Samson was a judge for 20 years. But best believe the Bible does not give any gist of what happened in those 20 years. Likewise, Christ. We're not told of what happened in his 20s. We're told, okay, you know, his friends forgot him in the synagogue. And then further down, we're saying, okay, you know, Jesus started fulfilling purpose and working and doing the work of the Father in his 30s. What happened? What happened in between? We're not told. So see, in the end, Jesus is definitely the truer and better and the best version of any Samson. He only can reflect himself. And just so we reflect on the strength of Samson and the parallel with Christ and the miraculous things Samson did empowered by the strength of Christ, we would move into our music break. And this week's song is titled "You Are My Strength" by Miranda Curtis. Have a great time, guys. We'll be back in a bit.
You are my strength. Strength like no one. You say, you are my strength.
You are my strength.
Strength like
no one.
say, you are my strength.
You are my strength.
Declare it all over the room. Strength like no other.
Welcome, welcome, welcome from the music break. That was You Are My Strength by Miranda Curtis. Yo, that song was my jam in my final year. So number two, Something was a man of faith. Y'all, did you know that Something made it to the hall of fame of the great men of faith in Hebrews? You know where the Bible starts with, oh, Abraham, Gideon, you know, mentioning those mighty, mighty men. Something made it. Hebrews chapter 11 from 32 to 34 says, what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and all the prophets who through faith they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and they gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of the flame, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So we'll start with, what is faith? What is faith from Hebrews chapter 11? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now see, focusing on the evidence of things not seen, it is the conviction of things not seen. It's the certainty of what we do not see or what we have not seen. It's a revelation of things that are yet to be beholded. Samson did not see that angel, guys. Samson did not see that angel that prophesied concerning him, unlike Gideon. Samson wasn't called out and anointed like David. No, Samson was literally born a leader without choice or option. Samson did not even volunteer. But you know the striking thing? Is that Samson believed God, a God that he had not seen. Samson believed God and acknowledged him. So the first thing I'm going to say about faith is that faith acknowledges that God is your source. Faith acknowledges that God is your source, and faith believes that God is who he says he is. Because see, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. So faith firstly believes that God is. See, Samson acknowledged God, and not his hair or his muscles as we have imagined. So firstly, faith acknowledges that God is who he says he is. Faith acknowledges that God is our source. Now secondly, faith believes who God says you are. I had read this and then I was speaking with a friend and I was like, you know, why do you think that Samson was called a man of faith? And my friend said something very, very profound. He said, firstly, faith is believing God is who he says he is. Faith is believing you are what God says you are. And faith is believing you have what God says you have. I said, brother, that is a word. Brother. That is making my podcast. So secondly, see, faith believes who God says you are. Now, yo, think about this. Samson did not for one day say, right, let me change my hairstyle. Let me do a bit of punk. Let me get that hairline snap. You know, let me do what my friends are doing. But then Samson did not one day say, ah, let me even try it out and cut his hair. The Bible doesn't record that. How did Samson know he had the strength to lift the whole city gate? Ah, how did he know he could kill a lion with his bare hands? How did he know he could catch 300 foxes by himself? How did he know he can kill with a jawbone? Rah! How did he, if he did not have faith and the spirit of God? So see, God had called him to be a deliverer, a judge, and his identity to be a Nazarene. And see, Samson lived in this identity. Samson believed he was who God called him to be and who God said he was. And let me tell you, you are who God says you are. See, God calls you righteous, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his beloved. You are who God says you are. Now, believing you are who God says you are is faith. And lastly, faith comes to God for repentance. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. See, Samson's willingness to be used as an instrument of Israel's deliverance, even at the point of death, was an act of courage and an expression of faith. And as I was getting my notes together, this dropped in my heart that there is someone listening who is struggling with suicidal thoughts. The Holy Spirit says I should tell you to come to him. You think you've gone too far away from God? The Holy Spirit says, just come. Just come to me in prayers. Right? So faith essentially is that Christ's blood already pleads for you, and the blood of Jesus has washed your sin, and so God accepts you and God sees you as righteous. Faith believes that God can help you fulfill purpose even in the last minute. Okay? So don't think you're too far away from God. You've sinned so much and then God can't forgive you. God can. God will. God has. Okay? His blood has been shed on the cross for you, so you're forgiven. Right? And so to wrap this up in an entire conclusion, I'd want to tell us that, see, we're all Samsons. We're all mighty, we're all strong, we're capable, and we're fearless. And see, as Samson was able to do these great things by the strength in the Spirit of God, Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So see, you are a Samson in strength. You have the Samson kind of strength in you because you have the Spirit of God that dwells in you. And so you're capable, you're more than able to do explicit things for God. And this leads us to our confession of the week. Our confession is hinged on the premise that God is. And so the confession is, I believe God is my source. I have all I will ever need. I believe God is my strength. I can do all things in him. So if you say this after me, I believe God is my source. I have all I will ever need. I believe God is my strength. I can do all things in him. Now, absolutely, please add yours however else you see God as. Now, the activity of this week is an interesting one. right? Bearing in mind that we all have something faith and we all have something strength, a faith that steps outside the norms, a faith that recognizes that there is power in him to do exploits. So we would be exercising that power this week, and I would implore us to do something we'll normally not do, or something that you haven't done before. So if this is you praying for someone you do not know that's on crutches, or to lay your hands on that friend that is ill, or to speak to your cab driver about Jesus, but just do something you haven't done in faith this week, and then watch the Holy Spirit show up for you. So yeah, that's our activity of the week, and I look forward to hearing from you, honestly. So Father, even as we come to a close, what a privilege to seek you and find you in our study of you. What a privilege, Father, that you would grace us with your presence and you would enlighten our understanding of you. Lord, we're thankful for all we've learned about Samson, and we pray, Father, you help us apply this to our lives. Help us bask in your strength, God, and do exploits for you. And Father, to anyone that is even saying, I am weak, I don't have this inherent strength you speak of, Father, we pray that you show them and you remind them that your strength is made perfect in their weakness. For everyone, we pray, Father, Lord, that you would help us do all the things we ought to do this week through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much, guys, for making it to this junction. It's been a privilege to share all I have learned, and I know there's definitely still more. It's inexhaustible. So drop me a comment, ask a question, hit me up, send a DM, all of it. On Instagram, it's @lightup_withMariam. On Facebook is Light Up with Mariam. You can drop me an email, lightupwithmariam@gmail.com. Remember, God is not a secret to be kept. Tell somebody about Jesus. I love you, and Jesus loves you more. Have a fantastic week, guys. Bye.